Welcome to Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash. Glad to be back, and this is a unique edition. I don't usually do music-centric podcasts, but today's guest caught my ear, Natalia Saw Lady Perouse. She is world-renowned for her musical prowess with the saw. I was fascinated to learn how you could play a tool that could also be a deadly weapon. She not only plays the biggest concert venues, her specialized sound is heard in movies and TV, including HBO's The Jinx and the Fox Searchlight film Another Earth. Oh, and yes, she can be heard performing in New York City subway stations.
How long have they been calling you that, by the way?
I'm not sure. Probably about, well, definitely more than 20 years. It started when I used to do a lot of performances for little children, and I would hear the parents like point me out to their kids and say, "Oh, look at the saw lady." And so I was like, "Oh, okay, I can be the saw lady." And that's how it started.
You were born in Europe, right?
Well, my parents traveled a lot. My mother was a concert pianist, and she did a lot of performances all over Europe. And my father was a scientist who was doing research. So because of their jobs, we traveled a lot. I was actually born in Israel. Then we moved to France, Switzerland, Germany, England. I mean, you name it.
So you had it in your blood. So the musician aspect.
Yes, I'm actually third generation. My grandmother was a singer. My mother was a concert pianist. And here I am, a concert carpenter.
Is that what you made that up? Concert
yeah,
carpenter?
No, I'm joking.
So how did you get into becoming a saw lady?
That happened by chance. I wasn't searching for an unusual musical instrument to play. I wasn't even searching to be a musician. I was actually a dancer. I used to say to my mother that one musician in the family is enough, and therefore I am going into dance. And I was a trainee with the Martha Graham Dance Company. And one day I was coming back from Lincoln Center. I crossed Central Park South, and I was hit by a car. And that was the end of my dance career. So, of course, that was devastating. I didn't know what to do with the rest of my life. My entire childhood, I was like, dance, that's my life. And all of a sudden, like that, gone. So to cheer me up, my parents took me on a trip to Europe. We went to Austria because as a kid, I really liked the movie The Sound of Music. I watched it like 14 times. So my parents took me to see the places where it was filmed because they thought that would cheer me up, which it did. But while we were there, we went to see a show for tourists. And part of the show was a guy playing music on a carpenter's handsaw. And it was the first time in my life that I've encountered this art form. And it was the first time since the accident that I actually felt excited about something other than dance. And so that is how I got started with the saw. The reason why I liked it so much is, yes, first of all, the angelic sound, the otherworldly sound. And yes, it's cool that it's a carpenter tool. But what really attracted me was the visual aspect of it. The fact that it's one of the only instruments that when you play them, the entire instrument moves. If you think of a violin, the bow moves, but the body of the instrument doesn't change. With the saw, the entire body of the instrument continuously moves, creating wave-like shapes in the air. And it's like dance. So that's why I was hooked.
I'm guessing you had to be trained on that, right?
Well, you're like my mother. She said, you cannot play a musical instrument without taking lessons. And so I searched for saw teachers and I couldn't find any. So therefore, I had to be self-taught because, you know, I had to sort of reinvent the wheel for myself because I couldn't find anybody who will teach me.
So that's even more impressive. You had did you ever have any accidents with it?
Really, one time when I was at Home Depot and I was checking out the different saws, I did cut myself on the teeth, but that was just clumsiness on my part, you know, putting the saw back on the rack. I never cut myself while playing. Know that you're dealing with a weapon. So you are
right.
And
so, and you bought it at, you said, Home Depot. So it's just a regular saw that anybody would get in a hardware store.
Well, that is how the tradition started. Yes, any full-bladed, non-electric handsaw can play. However, there are saws made especially for music. This probably started about 100 years ago. And those saws, they look very similar to a regular carpenter saw, but the teeth are not set. So they're not very sharp. And some of them don't even have teeth at all. Because the teeth for the music, they, you know, they have no function. Those saws tend to be thinner, so they're easier to bend, so you can play them for longer periods of time without hurting your left hand. They also have a superior sound because of the way they are manufactured. It's because when you manufacture a saw, a regular carpentry saw, to save money, they cut like a rectangular piece of metal on the diagonal to fit two saws in one sheet. Because of that, the grains of the metal go against the length of the blade. So when you're bowing it to get the sound out, the sound doesn't vibrate as long.
Nice.
Saws made especially for music, you make one saw out of one sheet of metal, and therefore the grain of the metal goes along the length of the blade, so therefore a longer sustain.
Do you use the regular ones, or do you use the special ones?
Well, mostly I use the special ones. They are also, some of them are longer, so you get more notes on them. I still use the regular ones just when I do like lecture demonstrations to show people that, yes, they can go to their toolbox and just take their saws out and it'll play.
That's amazing. And experience-wise, around the world, right?
Yes, have saw, will travel.
And in the United States, in New York, I read Madison Square Garden, Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And yet another intriguing aspect of the Saw Lady, the subway system.
Yes, that is correct. Out of all the stages in New York City, I find that the subway is one of the most important ones because it enables me to reach people directly without a sort of invisible wall between me and the audience, the way it is mostly when you perform in a theater. And also in the subway, I get to perform for everybody, not just exclusively for the rich, those who can afford to buy tickets to shows, but really every single New Yorker and visitor. I am hooked on playing in the subway. I find it addictive because you get to really feel the energy of the city. And there is a really strong exchange of energy between you and the audience. People are in your face. You get to see the transformation on their faces as they walk by and hear me play. They stop to talk to me. They ask me questions. They tell me things. I get to meet people of all walks of life, people that I will never have the chance to meet in any other way. For me, playing in the subway, the music is really just an excuse. And the real thing is the connectivity. It's meeting the city, like really face to face.
What about the acoustics?
The acoustics in the subway is phenomenal. And I've played in some of the best acoustic-wise concert halls in the world. And I'm telling you, the acoustics in the subway, the ceiling is really tall. And it's made of concrete, so it's like you're playing inside a cave. And there is this inherent reverb and augmentation of the sound. I don't need amplification in the subway. The space amplifies the sound. Some of the spaces in the subway are not straightforward. They're not like square. They're like different angles. So the sound, when it hits the wall, it ricochets like at different angles. All of this together is just like, the acoustics is like like candy for a kid. Acoustics in the Subway is for a musician.
When you wrote this, I didn't know. First, I saw Subways, so I thought you were just someone who's in the Subways. Do you have a cup? Are you looking for money?
I do have a donations bucket, but for me, busking comes from a place of purpose rather than a hunger for profit. I found that people actually want to contribute. I used to not have a bucket, like particularly when I was first starting out. I was just practicing on the street because back in those days I had a job at the Broadway theaters and I was just practicing on my free time outside of the theater. So I didn't have a bucket. I didn't even think about it. And yet people would come and like shove money into my hand. It's like people want to show their appreciation. And if you don't let them, you're hurting their feelings. Like I've had encounters with homeless people that wanted to give me money. And I would say to them, no, don't give me the money. You need it way more than I do. And then I would see on their faces how they got hurt, their feelings. And so you gotta allow people to express themselves. And busking is all about connectivity. Having the bucket there enables people to interact with you.
Right.
Of course, I appreciate any donation, like who wouldn't?
And again, you're not, when you're doing it there in the Subways, you're not ever having done it because you were homeless. You're doing it for the love of just constantly being out there and playing.
Exactly. And this is a huge misconception that a lot of people have about Subway musicians. A lot of people think that Subway musicians are homeless or that Subway musicians play in the Subway because they're not good enough to get gigs elsewhere. It is so not the case. I mean, I know many of the buskers in the Subway and none of them is homeless and they all have performances all over the place. It's just a misconception.
What did you call them?
Buskers?
Yeah.
That is the Shakespearean term for street musician. And it is the official term used still today for street performers.
This is way too much culture for this podcast. I don't know what to do with this. But this last year must have been tough for you, whether it was major stage or obviously Subways. You weren't getting that interaction anywhere, I guess.
Yes. This year was surreal. To be unable to perform for so long. I mean, you know, all my gigs were canceled. I was supposed to have a tour to Europe that got canceled. And of course, playing in the Subway was prohibited. Only recently the MTA started allowing it again. So to be unable to perform for so long felt a bit like living a half life to me, like an essential part of me was silenced. And actually, I did take the Subway during the pandemic because I had a dental emergency, so I had to go. And I walked by the spots where I have been playing it for 20 years, and it was so surreal. It was desolate, piercing quiet. There were no people and no sounds. It was like a shrieking silence. And it felt like I could feel the ghost of the music that used to be played there. It was just weird.
Where do you play usually? Do you have a specific spot?
My favorite spots are the big stations, Times Square, Herald Square, and Union Square. Ever so often, I also go to smaller stations, but that's where I'm mostly at.
You're just back, right? You just last week.
Now, last week, last Friday, was the very first time. And so since I got to play three times in the Subway, and it's amazing. You can really feel the energy of the city coming back. Now there are people in the Subway. I would say just about half the amount of people that used to be there in normal times. So it's really picking up and it's great. It's just so amazing.
I have to ask you though, there's been a rise of crime. There's been a rise of crime in the city and in the Subways. Does that ever, you know, seep into your mind?
Yes, recently, actually, before last Friday, when I got back into the Subway, I was thinking about that because I did hear on the news And I was trepidatious about that. And that is partially why I actually chose big stations this time, not the smaller ones. And I'm happy to say that there was a big police presence in those stations. And that helped. It's unfortunate. And I really hope that they get a grip on this situation.
How long do you perform when you're there at the stations?
Usually 3 hours at a time.
Wow. Without a break, you go 3 straight hours?
Yep, 3 straight hours. I try to drink very little water so that I don't need to go to the bathroom, because there isn't any.
How many songs do you play on the saw?
Ooh, I never counted, but many. just as many as a violinist or a flautist or anybody else.
In the subway, do you take requests?
No, I don't. I have my own itinerary of what I want to play. But what's really cool is that I get requests from people, but it's always something that they've heard me play before. So it makes me very happy because it shows me that people are really listening and paying attention. It's really cool. Sometimes people come and they tell me why they ask for this specific song. Like, for example, there used to be a homeless guy who always asked for Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And he told me that it's because he has 2 children in Chicago that he was forced to leave with their mother. And then he became homeless and he doesn't see them anymore. And it's his memory of how he used to watch the movie
The Wizard of Oz,
with his children. So he would come and sit next to me in the subway every time that he would come by me and ask me to play for him this particular song, because, you know, it meant a lot to him.
By the way, I don't know your list of songs, but just from that and from one you sent, it's not all classical. You do more modern, more contemporary stuff. I know I saw a clip where you did the theme from Star Trek.
It fits so well on the saw.
It did. It was like it really sounded like the original. I mean, it was really amazing the way it just
thank
fit.
You.
Yeah, it's great. So you must play that, right? You probably get that. That's probably a very popular one, I think. Right?
Yes, it is.
Are you a Trekkie?
I really like the original TV series. Afterwards, I sort of is the way for me.
By the way, do you have the saw handy? Could you give a quick sample?
So I have this saw here, which is a great neck, which is actually made on Long Island. It's especially for you.
Wow.
And as you can see,
maybe made in Great Neck for all we know.
Yeah, probably, right? That's probably maybe why it's called Great Neck. Yeah. That's something for you to investigate. So it's a regular saw. It's very sharp. This one is a 26-inch saw. So it's short for playing music. This is the minimum amount of inches that I would recommend. Not that shorter ones don't play, just that they don't have enough notes for melodies. So I don't know how you can't see, but it doesn't matter that you don't see, right? Because it's a podcast.
Yeah, it's the sound, I guess. Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
Okay, but it's here. So I'm holding it. I'm placing the handle between my knees, and I'm holding the tip of the blade with my left hand. And in my right hand, I have a bow. And now I'm just going to bow the non-serrated side. So that's the sound of the saw. Now I'm going to bow and bend. So there you have the range of this particular saw. It's not a large range. Like I said, it's only 26 inches. But the notes are there just like they are on a violin or whatever. You can play a scale.
Yeah.
Unlike a violin, though, with a violin, you must bow every note. With a saw, you can bow and then just bend to the other note or notes. So you don't have to bow every note. That's the difference. But otherwise, it's just like one huge violin string.
Right. because so it's more like flexible, so it bends with it instead of just hitting it and it constantly changing, and no
yes.
string, so you don't have to do anything with that,
right?
So that's 26, so that's the smallest. How big are they normally that you would use?
The one that I mostly use is, well, it used to be 32 inches long. Now it's 31 because it actually broke. I broke a saw. It was because I was playing in the subway in the winter. It was really cold. It was below freezing. And I didn't know it at the time, but I learned firsthand that when it's below freezing, the cold penetrates the blade, and so it doesn't want to vibrate. And I was forcing it to vibrate. So because of that, a crack formed at the tip, basically like an inch below the end. And it was really strange. I was playing, and all of a sudden the saw went mute. And I was like, huh, what the heck? So I looked up to where my hand was, and there was this crack almost all the way to the other side. And had I not stopped playing at that moment, it would have broken and the saw would have flipped in my face. So anyway, that saw I had cut right below where it broke. So that's why now it's 30, I think it's 31 inches, but it used to be 32 inches. And that's the comfortable range for my arm length. There are longer blades. For example, there is a German-made saw, which is, by the way, the one that the actress Marlene Dietrich used to play.
She played a saw too?
She played saw, yes, and she played a 36-inch long saw. So that is, you know, it has more notes. The one that she played, this German-made one, is also has a wider base, and therefore it has a deeper, like lower range, which kind of fits the range of her singing. So she used to play the same songs that she used to sing. She used to play them on the saw. And she tried very hard to get her saw playing into her movies, but it kept being cut out of the productions. And she did play a lot during World War II for the troops, for the American troops in Europe. And we have recordings of that. So that's very fortunate. I actually am very fortunate. I met in the subway. This demonstrates how great it is playing in the subway, the people that you meet. I met Marlene Dietrich's grandson. And I met also a guy who was a friend of hers and her neighbor. And also I met a guy who was a soldier during World War II and who was there for her performances. And they all told me stories about her and about how much she loved playing the saw. She was a real typical saw player in her enthusiasm.
So that's great. An idol of yours, I guess, in the saw.
Well, She certainly is the most famous person to have played saw.
Huh. I didn't know. I'm not a musical person. I mean, I played an organ when I was a kid. So if you needed London Bridge, I knew how to... Nah, 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 nah. That was it. I knew that. With the little book. That was it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
Do you have a toolbox?
What?
Do you have a toolbox in your garage? With a
saw? Yeah, we do. I have a small saw. I don't know if it's like, I don't think it's 26 inches even.
Well, I mean, any length of a blade plays, so you might want to try fiddling with your saw.
Maybe.
Now that you know that it's also a musical instrument.
Yeah, but I'm not that handy, so I'm afraid I would cut myself or something. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be the one. I'm so handy. I'd have to get somebody to do the saw work to make the music for me. You know, call a handyman, a mechanic, or something. Could you make the sound for me, please? I don't know how to do.
Well, the first thing that I did during the pandemic was I put out an album, and it's called Playing on the Edge. And it's on Spotify and anywhere, you know, all the streaming places. And I made, since we had to do everything socially distant, I made a music video for the first track of this album. I made it, I filmed it in a forest on Staten Island. So really remote, there wasn't a single soul there. If you're ever in the New York City subway and you happen to see a woman playing a saw, come say hi.
That's you. Then I'll know. You're the only one doing it in the subway, right?
The only one.
Are you the only one that performs anywhere else in like in concerts as with a saw?
Oh, no. There are others. I guess you don't know about the Saw Festival that I had.
No.
For 12 years, I ran the New York City Musical Saw Festival. I started with five other saw players who came from all over the world, and I ended up with a Guinness World Record of the largest musical saw ensemble. I had, I forget now, 58 saw players. So there are others. I do teach, so, you know, there are newcomers to the
We didn't talk about that. So you teach people to the next generation of saw people.
Yes. You gotta, you know, make sure that the art form doesn't disappear.
Do they know about it? Is it that well known?
It is getting to be more and more known, I am happy to say. Mostly it's people who have seen saw playing somewhere, either somebody playing live or on a movie. I don't know if you know, like the movie Another Earth is very popular with like teenagers and 20 somethings. And there's a scene in it of a guy playing a saw. Actually, the actor did a great job. I taught him how to mime saw playing. And what you actually hear on the soundtrack is my playing, but he looks really authentic. And so a lot of people were inspired by this movie. And there are some other movies as well. Yeah, basically, it's like me. You know, I saw somebody else performing, and that's how I got started. That's how it is.
And by the way, I also should point out, you've done stuff that's been featured in movies.
Oh, yeah, many. I mean, that's my other favorite type of thing to do is to play on movie soundtracks. I'll send you a link to my IMDb, so you'll see all the movies.
Wow, to go from that to do a concert and then, you know, giving back in the subways. It's quite a versatile career.
Well, thank you. I don't like to be bored. I don't like doing just the same thing over and over. So, you know, one day I'm in a recording studio, the next I'm in the subway, the next I'm in Carnegie Hall, you know, every day is different. That's what I like.
Well, when you do any of these things, do you have a studio at home or do you have to go somewhere like for the movies?
Oh, both, actually. I've done both, yeah. Mm. Like, actually, the one I just told you about, Another Earth, it was really weird. I was slated to go into a studio and all, and we just did a demo in a home recording studio just to show the director, like, you know, the idea that we had for this and he ended up liking the demo so much that he was like, oh no, I just want to use that, forget about a good recording, this is perfect. So
wow, he didn't want to chance it. This is it. We don't want to try it again. We got it right here. Well, I want to thank you for coming on for a few minutes today.
Thank you for inviting me. This has been so fun chatting with you.
It sounds like a person singing when she performs. My thanks again to Natalia Saw Lady Peruse for an entertaining conversation. You can leave a comment on Twitter at Jerry Barmash. My email, hearnowthenewsjb@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We're back soon with another Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash.